Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Dorsey Wright Podcast. Today is May 10th, 2017. My name is David Clark.
And my name is Tommy Doyle.
And really, Tommy, we're right in the midst of the seasonally weak period. We just got that started as May rolled in here. Many of us just came back from the Broker Institute. For those who attended, we're glad to have you, glad you came. Hope it was a great event. But really, you know, as we come back and sort of get our bearings on what's going on in the market, we obviously see we're in this seasonally weak month. So, you know, what in terms of historically speaking do we think we see as we're moving into these seasonally weak months, especially as sector leadership is concerned?
Yes. Yeah, so last week we did a piece on Thursday and the prospecting, how we're transitioning from the seasonally strong to seasonally weak period, that seasonal weak period from April to October. Friday, we offered you some ideas and some contrast. And you see the shift in broad sectors from that strong period be from consumer cyclicals and industrials, you know, with gaming and building as the top two DWA groups during the seasonally strong period. And you see the flip on the weak side to technology and utilities as the two top broad sectors when we look at those subsector returns. And amongst the top of those, David, you're seeing internet and software be the top two subsectors with a 9.21% median return for internet and a 7.61% median return for software. And the S&P is around 2%. So these are the areas, you know, we like to focus on during the seasonally weak period. And, you know, that goes along with Dolly right now. Technology still in favor, so it's lining up very nicely for that sector overall.
Well, and from the sort of subsector level even then too, you know, taking a look at like internet, things like that, those are all sectors that if we were to look at the DWA group matrix, they reside in the top half. Their relative strength is positive when compared to, you know, the market even at this time as well. It's interesting that as we're moving into the seasonally weak period that, you know, among the areas of the market that seems to be garnering the most attention has been international. And really from that perspective, we see a lot of, you know, improvement out of the European space. It's not the first time that, you know, some type of improvement has been seen this year out of Europe, but it's really been a big shift here recently as we've seen emerging Europe primarily on the backs of, say, Russia and Turkey, you know, move up into the number one spot of sort of our sub-level within the international space for Dolly. So our leadership there is beginning to change. That Europe emerging overtook Latin America, but really it's not even just Europe emerging. We're seeing Europe as a whole pick up. I think we were just running through a list here and looking at numerous ETFs, you know, Austrian ETFs, EWO is one we could look at there, the Netherlands, Belgium, France, Switzerland. I mean, the list goes on and on. All of them, you know, present very positive technical pictures. They've gained in relative strength. They're just overbought at the moment. So in terms of looking to potentially take exposure to this group, a group that we've definitely seen improve a lot, you know, we would definitely look for some pullbacks in a number of these funds. If maybe more of your flavor is to go broad-based, you could take a look at the iShares MSCI Eurozone ETF, symbol EZU. Again, in that case, positive technical picture, good breakout, cleared above resistance back in March. But at this point, you know, it's just simply overbought. Another option for European exposure is going to be IEV. That's going to be the iShares Europe ETF. Again, similar picture, cleared resistance, positive relative strength. It's just overbought at this time. So, you know, as we're maybe looking to position ourselves, we're moving into sort of a weak period for the market. Granted, that's more domestic equity centric, but paying attention to these trends and these emergences within the international space is definitely something we'll need to keep up to date.
Yeah, and we talked about those two, the IEV, the Europe ETF, and the Eurozone after, you know, all this stuff with France has been going on with the election. Those are very French heavy in their allocations. And like David mentioned, on that individual country level, we had Latin America and Asia kind of lead the way across emerging in 2016 when international equities began to rise from the last place, frankly, in Dolly to where they are now in second with a comfortable footing there. And you're seeing things on the developed, you know, we had them on our watch list, we were waiting, now they've broken out. Some people feel like, well, I've missed it. But, you know, again, that's why we go back to those point and figure charts and we set those alerts on the system for those column reversals down so we can get in there. You know, we're still seeing a couple of them get their footing and they're a little bit late to the party. You know, EWU is the United Kingdom one. That one just recently reversed trend. But you are exactly right. You know, we have seen Turkey and Russia be certainly more volatile, but they have been the key drivers in that region's success.
Well, and as much of our focus in this podcast today has been, it's been equities. I mean, that still continues to be our area of focus, especially from a relative strength standpoint, that we wanted to continue to overweight domestic equities, continue to, you know, add exposure to international if we don't already have it, and even potentially overweight it within an asset allocation. But something that's sort of, I wouldn't say flown under the radar, but hasn't gotten as much high praise or even as much attention, if you will, has been sort of the interest rate story that we've seen take place. Just, I think it was yesterday, we saw the chart of TNX, which is the U.S. 10-year Treasury Yield Index, return to a buy signal. Now, prior to that buy signal, the index chart had given two consecutive sell signals, both occurring in April, and it also had violated key support and tested its bullish support line. But at this point, has held support at that support line, rebounded, given the buy signal. And really what's somewhat intriguing in terms of, okay, well, what does that mean for our fixed income exposure, things like that? It caused some near-term exposure or near-term improvement, pardon me, within, you know, funds like the TLT, which is going to be long bonds, the iShares long bonds ETF, as well as TLH, which is the 10 to 20 year. You did see a little bit of improvement, especially during that April time frame, but, you know, with our little bit of bounce in rates here, we've seen that back off. Generally speaking, we still see the general trend of fixed income is negative, still favoring high yields, convertibles, preferreds, those areas within fixed income. But, you know, keeping an eye on that TNX chart as well as the longer term TYX chart, which is going to be the 30-year yield index. It's a little bit of a tongue twister.
It is.
The 30-year yield index, keeping an eye on those charts, looking for, you know, potential sell signals and or buy signals, wherever it may go from here. Obviously, we need to stay abreast to that because it's going to affect our fixed income allocation. And that's definitely something we'll need to pay attention to moving forward.
Yeah, that we like to focus in on that 10-year. The 5-year and the 30-year broke down and actually did violate trend, and we got a lot of calls on what's that going to mean. Is the 10-year going to do it? And you know, we couldn't answer. We had to say, stick to the trend, see what it's going to do. And like David mentioned, it was able to hold that trend, return to the buy signal.
Well, at this point, I think we've, you know, covered quite a bit. We hit on equities. We hit on fixed income. You know, all we left to talk about could be, you know, currencies or commodities. But generally speaking, we find that those asset classes are still out of favor. We would either look to avoid or underweight those two at this time. On sort of a commodity level, we've continued to see energy commodities weaken relative to others. Within, you know, the leadership of that asset class, it continues to be base metals. Within currencies, still continue to see the dollar kind of, you know, testing its bullish support line. Has traded a little bit higher, inched a little bit higher earlier this month, but, you know, continues to test that support at $99. To say there's a lot happening right now would be somewhat of an understatement. So with that, we want to, you know, leave you with as much information as we have, and we hope that it's been helpful. We will talk to you next week.